You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast. It is Monday night. That means it's a Raw post-game show. It is March 21st, 2016. I'm back in the saddle. PW Torch assistant editor James Caldwell. Taking your phone calls, taking your emails at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. I'll be joined in just a second by Torch columnist Greg Parks, who I thanked to him for filling in for me last week, as I had a second case of food poisoning in 2 weeks last Monday, which knocked me out after Raw. But I'm back this week and ready to talk about a strange Raw, a strange road to WrestleMania. And we'll talk to Greg in just a second for his thoughts here on the top of the show. Quick note, all the coverage of tonight's Raw at pwtorch.com. My full report, thoughts, analysis, and written form at pwtorch.com, our main website, plus the news from about WrestleMania, news of the day. Hulk Hogan getting paid. Well, it might take a while to get paid, but he's getting money maybe down the road from his Gawker lawsuit. So lots of coverage of that, plus latest WWE Hall of Fame announcement, Stan Hansen, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. So all that, plus the news of the day at pwtorch.com. And without further ado, let us go to PW Torch columnist Greg Parks here at the top of the show. Greg, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, James. Glad to have you back, hopefully at full strength or near it, for this road to WrestleMania.
I feel about 95%. That'll about do for me. Finally able to eat again after a terrible 2 weeks. But, Greg, you did a great job last Monday in hosting with Pat McNeil, so I appreciate you filling in on a last-minute pinch-hitting role here during spring training season. But, Greg, tonight's Raw. Help me out. What is going on here with this? Kind of set the stage. Tonight's main event was Dean Ambrose versus Braun Strowman. In the middle of the match, the crowd, which, I mean, the crowd, this was in Philadelphia, so you're anticipating a hot crowd throughout. They were invested early on, Greg, but it seemed like they were just, the life was drained out of them, as many Raws do to many crowds. Every crowd happens. This one in particular was drained. And your main event is Braun Strowman. 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I don't know what is going on here, Greg. I don't know if they have lost it. I don't know if this is intentional to take it all the way down and then have some big comeback. I don't know what is going on, Greg. Help me out. And from your vantage point, what is going on here with the road to WrestleMania?
What that I could help you out, James, but I'm as stumped as you are, I think. You mentioned the crowd. You know, we know the Philadelphia crowd is rabid, not always aligned with what WWE wants their live crowds to be like. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, for the Stephanie McMahon segment, for the Roman Reigns segment, for the AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens match, they were into it. And then it really tailed off very quickly. They weren't as into New Day as I think a lot of people would have expected Philadelphia to be, and they never seemed to really recover from that segment, although it didn't help that the rest of the show was not real good. The last half hour or so, with Vince McMahon's announcement curiously being placed ahead of the Braun Strowman-Dean Ambrose match, maybe because it would have felt somewhat anticlimactic to go off the air with Vince's announcement with no interference, no one coming out, I guess, to banter with him, rather. And they chose to go off with Dean Ambrose and Paul Heyman sort of hyping the Brock Lesnar Ambrose match at WrestleMania. But, you know, Ambrose versus Strowman, and not only the concept of the match itself, to be in the main event of this particular Raw, you know, the second to last Raw before WrestleMania, but the way the match was structured, which, to be fair, it sort of had to be structured that way to fit within the confines of what Braun Strowman can do in the ring. But it was just, I sat there thinking, I can't believe this is a main event less than 2 weeks out of WrestleMania on Monday Night Raw. And not only that, but gosh, the three-hour format. You can't run that kind of main event match at the end of 3 hours in a five-minute overrun and expect fans to stay interested and invested and awake for a match of that nature that late in the show. You just can't do it.
That's why I'm with you. I'm so stumped. I don't know what they're thinking. You know, I don't know if they're trying to reinforce the point that Shane keeps making that Vince has lost touch, and they're, you know, I mean, like they're trying to reinforce the point in the storyline context. I can't think of a rationale for this. You know, because like you said, they had two segments left in the show. You knew the last two segments. They were going to be the Vince announcement and Dean Strowman. And so they went to commercial, the next to last commercial, and they announced, okay, up next is Vince's announcement. So I'm thinking, okay. So there's got to be some sort of big angle for Ambrose Strowman. Why else would they put this match on last? And then we saw Vince's announcement, and there wasn't really anything to it. It was, if Taker doesn't win against Shane, then it's Taker's last Mania. And the crowd's like, okay. You know, I think what we were expecting, you know, special referee announcement, some sort of additional Hell in a Cell, flaming tables, barbed wire, something. You know what I mean? Like something that would warrant the advertising of McMahon making an announcement. It was just so like blah that it's like they sat there and they said, okay, what do we go on last with? This blah announcement that's just gonna leave people like, eh? Or Dean and Strowman, and hope the crowd likes Dean or Ambrose a lot more than they don't like Strowman. Neither one was a good option. And what's The Rock going to do at WrestleMania? Are they not going to have a special referee for Shane Taker? I'm at a loss, Greg, of what is going on here.
And one of the things you have to look at in this situation certainly is the health of WWE's roster has somewhat contributed to the main event we saw tonight. You know, WWE a shortage of healthy bodies. And you take away guys like Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, whose match had to be at the beginning of the show, given the show-long storyline.
Right.
You take out Roman Reigns, who, you know, they likely weren't going to put in a match in front of the Philly crowd anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his storyline with Triple H, the way it was told tonight, needed him to be somewhere else and not necessarily wrestling in the main event. So once you answer for the injuries, once you take into account the storylines that were written for the show for wrestlers who otherwise could have been in a main event situation, and you're sort of left with Ambrose and Strowman and Wyatt's hurt, and there aren't a lot of other options here, unfortunately, to main event Raw with.
Yeah, like you said, that you could tell in the very first segment they did not want to put Reigns. They didn't want to expose him in front of the Philly crowd. And they had Stephanie. The opening segment was Stephanie did the talking. Reigns interrupted now from his new ring entrance from the stage, and did a very short to the point response. It was almost like they didn't want to give the Philly crowd enough time to either boo him out of the arena or to take over the segment. I mean, it was very short to the point. And then, like you said, later on, in full to where Reigns attacked Triple H in the parking garage. I don't even know if this is going to be the main event. That's another sub-story to this, Greg, is that we don't even know if this is going to be the main event. Like, going on last, Hunter and Reigns for the title, because of how much attention went to Shane and Taker via video package tonight. And
yeah.
Jericho and the video package reinforced the main event, main event, main event, main event, main event. I'm not convinced that Reigns Hunter goes on last, and that is an indictment of everything they've been doing for 3 years. If that match does not go on last at Mania, the crown and achievement.
I agree.
Go ahead, Greg.
You get the sense, James, that WWE, and I wrote the column in the Torch newsletter about after the Royal Rumble that, hey, you know, WWE is going to go full steam ahead now with Roman Reigns to WrestleMania. He's got to win over Triple H. They've got to crown him here. Do you get a sense, given the way he's been booked between the Royal Rumble and now, that WWE is not giving up on Reigns? But when you look at the difference between the way Reigns and Dean Ambrose has been booked, Ambrose has been booked as the top babyface over Roman Reigns, who's challenging Triple H for the title at WrestleMania.
Yep.
You know, they have to protect Reigns so much has it gotten to the point where WWE is even thinking, oh, you know, maybe this isn't worth it? Well, we're going to give the minimum build we possibly can for Triple H versus Reigns, but we're gonna get off that bandwagon at WrestleMania. I mean, is that the sense you get, or do you think WWE really thinks what they're doing with Roman Reigns right now is going to eventually lead to him going to the top of the mountain as the top babyface?
Yeah, I think based on tonight, they realize there's a problem. I think they finally kind of admitted to it. But I still think they'll have Reigns win the title in two Sundays. I just think they're going to really hide it. You know, either tuck it into the top of the third hour. In my mind, I can't picture this not going on last because it's the WWE title match at Mania. But from what we saw tonight, I feel like they might be moving away from that match going on last. And so I think they might tuck it away at the top of the third hour, kind of build toward it as a, you know, the second main event, quote unquote, of the night. And, you know, have Ambrose Brock as one main event, have Reigns Hunter as the second main event, and then I guess Shane Taker is the last main event. And then kind of have a big angle. Either maybe the night after Raw, or might after WrestleMania on Raw, have Reigns be confronted by... Well, I say that you would still have a rematch for Hunter. You still have to get through that rematch. But I think they've got to come up with a big angle. Whether it's Seth Rollins coming back or... And that's where a double turn happens. Maybe Reigns' heel and Seth's face returning. But, you know, you got to get a Hunter rematch out of the way. But I still think they're going to put the belt on Reigns. But, I mean, you're right, Greg. I think some things have changed. And not enough to where they wouldn't have him win. But you can really sense there's a shift in how much confidence
they
have right now.
You talk about wondering what's going to go in the main event, and that might be one of the more interesting power struggles behind the scenes leading up to WrestleMania, is you've got Triple H's camp, who I'm sure he would love to main event WrestleMania once again, and he's got the WWE World title match, so he can argue that, hey, it's the WWE World title, I'm a big enough star that even if Reigns isn't where we want him to be, we should be in the main event of WrestleMania. If Roman Reigns is going to win, he needs to be crowned champion in the main event. That's how it's got to happen. And then you've got this other camp, the Shane McMahon camp, you know, where Shane McMahon Undertaker at one point had a lot more juice. I think that's gone a little bit by the wayside here in the last few weeks. But that's certainly going to be more of a spectacle match. So, you know, I wonder, you know, we're hearing rumors of it sort of setting up as Vince and Shane versus Stephanie and Triple H backstage in the power struggles or what have you. And I'm curious to see how that all unfolds and to see if that's something of a power struggle as far as which match goes on last. And, you know, Triple H, I'm sure, is going to pound the table for his match. And I think you can argue in some ways that Shane versus Taker could go on last as well.
It's fascinating. I mean, it really is. And then tonight they throw out the added stipulation that if Taker doesn't win, it's his last WrestleMania. How do you not raise the stakes to that level? As far, you know, the announcement was pretty blah, but as far as the actual result of the announcement, you've now raised it to where if Taker doesn't win, it's his last Mania. That has to be worthy of the last slot in WrestleMania. I think now the hype tonight, plus, that, I think there's more argument for that match going on last than Hunter Reigns. And like you said, I think Triple H wanted to, you know, establish a new star in Reigns by having him, you know, having him drop the title to Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania. But I don't know that's going to happen now. It doesn't seem that way. And like you said, that's going to be fascinating the last week of Mania to see which camp wins out. As you said, as you kind of painted the picture, a lot of arguments going back and forth. And I think it's going to be Shane Taker going on last now, which is, you know, the son versus the son-in-law, you know, and the daughter and all that. So, Greg, I really wanted to come on the show talking about Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and their 20-minute match, but that was the first half hour of Raw. There were 2.5 more hours of Raw.
It seems like ages ago. Yes. Are you sure that wasn't last week?
It might have been. Actually, it was last Thursday. You covered it. I don't think it happened tonight. My brain's a little bit woozy. I might have lost track of this, but yeah, Styles and Owens had a great TV match, and that was, you know, and then there was another 2.5 hours of Raw. So again, it just, Greg, so many Raws just get swallowed up by the format in the 3 hours, and by the end of the show, you forget that Owens and Styles had a great match tonight.
All right. Yeah,
go ahead.
It's tough. It was a good match. You know, you had the distraction finish at the end, which just killed it. But you know, we're used to that by now. And the way the Intercontinental Title ladder match ended up looking,
nice segue.
That's WWE's depth right there right now. You know, and now it's ProWrestling.net has reported on Twitter that Luke Harper was injured in a post-Raw match, had to be taken to the hospital via ambulance. And some people who were there said it looks like he hurt his leg. And, you know, that's another strike against the depth already.
Which is that's funny because Pat McNeil and I, on Wednesdays on the after show, after his live cast, the end of the after show, we talk about the live events coming up for the week, and we said we don't think there will be any more post-Raw dark matches because they can't risk any more injuries. Oops!
Yeah.
Oops, they should have listened to our after show. So, I mean, we were sitting, you know, WWE advertises some sort of post-Raw dark match that never happens, and we were saying they probably shouldn't have any more until Mania because there's a risk of an injury, and so... There you go, Luke Harper, down and out. So, you know, I don't know why they do this to themselves, but
it's almost like a horror movie at this point. Like every wrestler is running away, screaming, and looking back at the camera where, you know, in this case, I guess the mysterious injurer is tracking them from behind, and they eventually catch up with them and get them, and they go on the shelf, and you know, it's weird. I don't remember a time where the roster has been decimated with injuries, serious injuries,
mm-hmm.
to the point it has now.
3 hour Raws, house shows, not enough depth. It's just too much, but. Greg, the streaks you described from the injury man, Chase, now, is that Stephanie McMahon shrieking in the limo?
Sure it is. Okay. She has one of the best shrieks for certain of anyone. So
I think we need to wrap up.
Coming next to WWE films, really.
Well, that's why I dropped the chaperone joke on Twitter, because Triple H did play the chaperone picking up his wife at work today. So that was very nice of him to reprise his role from, I think it was 2011. Was that movie 2011, I think it was? The Chaperone? Triple H? Good times.
I can't believe you're actually asking me to remember when The Chaperone came out.
I looked it up on YouTube to make sure I remembered the year correctly. I think it did say 2011, and Hunter had a ponytail and he had hair and all this kind of stuff. It's very weird time lapse or time warp back in that era of strange WWE movies. But I wanted to wrap up the top of the show, Greg, talking about the Intercontinental title setup, because they had Kevin Owens. He was confronted by Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and The Miz. And then he said, okay, I'm going to put all three of you guys in the number one contenders match. And then he comes out and defines down the following three individuals as complete jobbers. We're going to bring out Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, and Stardust. And they were defined down as jobbers having basically like the NFL replacement match, number one contender match, because obviously Owens did not want to fight Ziggler, Miz, or Zayn at WrestleMania. And so they defined down Stardust, Ryder, and Sin Cara, and then they put all three guys in the title match anyways with Owens and make a seven-way ladder match with, you know, him and three guys he doesn't want to fight and three guys that have been defined down as jobbers. So there's your WrestleMania Intercontinental title match, everybody. Good fun times. Greg, before I let you go, because we could talk all night, and we'll talk all night in a couple of Sundays. And did you know, I didn't tell you about this, Greg. I didn't tell you this. I guess I should tell you now. It's going to be a 7-hour post WrestleMania live cast. on April 3rd and 4th.
Okay, I'll make sure to take a personal day the next day, because that will definitely I'll be finishing up the live cast driving to work the next morning if I don't. So
well, yes, we're gonna push you all the way to your work on Monday morning. Yes, you'll be teaching while still on the live cast, taking your phone calls.
Now that would be a great treat for the kiddos.
Now, little Johnny, Greg has to take another phone call. Come on, let's go. I jest because JBL is hyping that WrestleMania will be 7 hours. Well, no, I'm sorry. There will be 7 hours of coverage of WrestleMania on WrestleMania Sunday. I can't wait for the Super Bowl to be expanded to a 70-minute Super Bowl. Actually, no, 75-minute. It'll be a 5-quarter game, you know, just because they can squeeze more ad dollars out of people.
Of course.
Greg, give us a little color on moonlighting and which is interesting because it's dark and it's gray and white. And what color is it at nighttime? Black and white? Gray and white? What is the moon?
What do you mean? Like, are you asking me what color night is? I mean,
yes.
It's dark. I don't know.
What's the off
really
color? Is
it
like
it.
Silver or gray? What color are the stars?
Where are you looking? Are you just like looking off into the sky?
Yeah, like when you're doing moonlighting late at night, like what color is it outside?
Oh, it's almost like a dark bluish, dark purplish, I guess. I guess that counts
as color. Okay. I just wanted to give me some color on moonlighting and just sort of put me on a tangent. But
okay. I'd never thought of that before. But,
I hadn't either, which is why I completely lost my train of thought. But
okay.
Moonlighting, Greg, and newsletter column. Give us some thoughts.
Okay. So moonlighting this past weekend, I looked at obviously SmackDown, as well as I had the big Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles main event. And the latest episode of TNA Impact, in which Drew Galloway won the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. And ROH, which I haven't looked at in a while, and it was the 7-team tag team gauntlet match to find the number one contender for the tag titles in ROH. That was kind of interesting to watch and talk about on Moonlighting. In the latest newsletter, I think that would be my column looking at the TNA roster and how mm-hmm. things fit. Of course, this was before Drew Galloway won the title. Mm-hmm. This was before Bobby Roode and Eric Young left the company. So mm-hmm. keep that in mind as you're reading. And I just submitted a column last night for the upcoming Torch newsletter in which I looked at how WWE can learn a thing or two from March Madness.
Uh-oh. I'm a little sensitive about that. A little sensitive.
That's all I'm going to say. I'll give it a little tease because it hasn't been released yet, but that's what's coming up in the next week Torch newsletter from me.
I'm really interested what wrestling tie-in you came up with March Madness. There's a lot of different things you can do with it, so I'm curious what angle you took. Don't tell me. I want to read it, but
okay.
I like the
you.
Teaser,
I wasn't
Greg.
Tell you anything.
Well played.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, Greg. Well, we will talk in 13 days. WrestleMania post-game show on April 3rd. And then we'll have our big item after WrestleMania that I teased a couple weeks ago. So we'll announce that afterward. But, Greg, I appreciate you joining me here at the top of the show on the live cast.
Sure. I'm going to go to sleep now thinking about what color night is and if I answer that correctly. It's almost like a philosophical question, so I'll have to really think about it.
That's what we like to do here on the Raw Post Game Show, make you think. You know, got to make the listeners think a little bit, you know?
I mean, it's either that or actually have to talk about this episode of Raw. So.
And Raw was pretty cut and dry. First half hour, good. Last 2.5 hours, not so good. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Greg.
Good luck with the rest of the show.
Appreciate it. People are still on hold. That's good. That's a good sign. That's always a good sign. Yeah. All right, Greg. Talk to you in a couple weeks. That is Torch columnist Greg Parks. He's on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. And I'm going to take a quick timeout, regroup, and figure out life, and then we'll get back to your phone. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a second after this quick timeout and a word from our sponsor.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
All right, let's get on the phone lines. The number reaches here, of course, is 646-721-9828, or you can email us. Got some emails in. We'll get to in a second at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We are here in the Raw Postgame Show. Torch assistant, James Caldwell, taking your calls. Let's kick it off in the 267 area code. Welcome to show 267. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, James, this is Joe from Philadelphia.
Joe, were you at Raw tonight?
Actually, I wasn't, and I'm kind of happy I didn't after realizing there was going to be no Taker, Shane, or Lesnar on the show at all.
Or anything really decent. I think that was also an – well, there's a good match. Good match. But, Joe, what was your – well, I'll get to your question. But first, I want to get your assessment. You're sitting there watching your Philadelphia crowd at Raw. What was your assessment of – the crowd and as relates to the actual show they were presented with tonight?
I mean, I thought the crowd was pretty hot to start out, and just the rest of the show just felt flat to me. It just felt like it wasn't 2 weeks away from WrestleMania.
That was my overall feel of it too. And I think the crowd sensed that. I think also too, there were a lot of video packages tonight, especially the Shane Taker stuff. And you know, you sit through a three minute commercial. They come back, they show you a video, then they go to another commercial. I mean, I think a lot of the show was just sitting on your hands if you're there in the building. So, I mean, naturally, it's going to suck the life out of a crowd. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think they started off hot and sort of fell off as the show went on. But, Joe, go ahead. What's on your mind as far as a question or comment?
I mean, I just wanted to talk about the Shane and Taker scenario, whatever's going on with this storyline. I mean, it's just, first off, I mean, if Taker loses now, I mean, the whole Vince McMahon, the segment fell flat, and they just, I mean, his announcement just felt like it was all hyped up, and then when he got it was just a big fart on the show, honestly.
Right.
And just with the Taker thing, like, even if Taker loses, I mean, couldn't Shane just reinstate Taker? I mean, if he wanted to, he could just bring him back, right? I mean, Vince isn't in power anymore. And then if you want people to get behind Shane being the hero, taking on the big authority figure, I mean, you now confuse the viewer who might choose to back Taker instead of Shane. Oh, and just boo Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got another babyface getting booed, and it's just all confusing to me. I would just, I hope you could help me out here, and that's all for me.
Yeah, email at the exact same time you said that is, Christian wrote in, I think that Shane will win at WrestleMania the next night, reinstate Undertaker. Yeah, I mean, if... That's where you kind of get into the semantics and the wording and all that of, like, the whole thing is supposed to be if Shane wins, he gets control of Raw. Does that mean he also gets control of WWE roster and personnel? You know, where he'd be able to reinstate Taker? Because the wording isn't that Taker automatically retires. It's just that he can't – if Taker lost to Shane, he can't wrestle again – at WrestleMania. So therefore, I mean, like, wouldn't Taker have 364, 5, 6 days left on his career, and then he just can't wrestle again at, you know, cheers WrestleMania, and he can still wrestle at, you know, SummerSlam? You know, and also Vince McMahon just said right before that if Shane wins, then Vince will probably be out of power. Which the crowd's like, yes, yes, yes. And then so then wouldn't Shane just null and void Vince's stipulation? It's just, none of this makes any sense at all. Just, every week they come out and they try to patch up the latest hole in the story. They just make it more and more ridiculous. And that's a great point you brought up, Joe, which is that, yeah, wouldn't Shane just overwrite, wouldn't Shane just overwrite the stipulation for Taker? To me, though, it makes Taker look pretty soft. If Taker were to lose to Shane, even if it's like every shenanigan, every run-in, every silly scenario, and Shane just happens to somehow get a pinfall, and Taker needs to get Taker has to be reinstated by Shane. You know, it would kind of make Taker look really soft. I mean, they've already made him look really soft in the storyline with having to be opposite Shane and sell for him, but. Then all of a sudden, like, okay, Undertaker, I'll reinstate you. I like you. And it was like, oh, thank you, little Shane. I appreciate it. You know, I mean, it's just, the whole thing is just a complete mess. And so, but yeah, it's a really great question. It's a really great question, you know, that you brought up, Joe, in that Christian email, which is that shouldn't Shane just reinstate Taker after Mania? That's something they don't want you to think about. They want you to think about, oh, it's this high stakes scenario and whatever happens will stick, and, you know, it's final. But, it conceivably it should be overrun because Vince even said so in his promo that he'll be out of power if Shane wins. So, I don't know. It's a giant mess. It just makes my head hurt even think about. Joe, I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to our next caller. Next up is from the 478 area code. Welcome to show 478. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
How you doing, James? This is Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, Darrell, good to hear from you. What's your mind?
What's on my mind? The worst way you can build a match for WrestleMania is what they did to the IC title. And so
yes.
Way you
yes.
Downgrade the title, make it not look serious, and how you label all these guys as mid-carders.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those guys don't deserve matches, title matches, and some guys who keep saying they want to show off instead of get a win don't deserve a match, a title match either, if you're going to think that way. So that was one thing. Another thing is a 7-hour WrestleMania card is nowhere near as good as a 2-hour NXT card.
Mm-hmm.
Since the card is already fully out. And lastly, but sure not least, I know people continue to say they think Roman should go ahead and win and turn heel, but I think no, he should probably lose, not turn heel, and go back down the card and work on personality or something, because I think how they have booked him, it's made him where people don't not like the character. They just don't like him. And even if he do go heel or stay babyface and get coronated, they still just going to hate him. So that's not helping him out. So that's my rant.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with Reigns. You know, if they put the belt on him, I think it damages him. If they have him lose to Hunter, back-to-back years where everybody knows that the plan is for him to win, and if he loses again, I mean, that's going to knock him down. I think the best thing for them the best thing for WWE to do, really and truly, is to have an injury angle where Reigns gets taken out of WrestleMania and the title match is Brock, Hunter, and Ambrose in a three-way. Because Reigns is so damaged as a character right now that it doesn't matter what they do, it will not work. You know, if they try to turn him heel, yeah, you'll get a short-term pop, but then he'll be sort of a bland heel because they have not addressed the fundamental problems with Roman Reigns' character. He's not good. He's a 7 out of 10, and they're trying to make him out like he's 9 out of 10. You know, he's not main event level. He's 7 out of 10 mid-card. And they haven't addressed the look, they haven't addressed the presentation, the mic skills, the in-ring. They're trying to hide and mask. And now it's come to the point where they're acting like he's not going to be the main event of WrestleMania. So, to me, the best thing for him to do, I think, is to do an injury angle and disappear for a couple months. And then come back in a different situation. Wait for the landscape to change. But they can't do that One, they've already, you know, they've already marketed the match. They've already made the plans for the match. They've already planned for him to win. And they've already, you know, done all the promotional and all that, and they've already invested everything into him winning. The only question now is, will it be the last match or not the last match of WrestleMania? But they have a problem, and they can't just hide him. So, and the other thing is that, you know, they need stars. They need people. And Reigns, again, is a 7 out of 10 star. He's a mid-card, upper mid-card at best, being presented as a main eventer. So they need stars to fill out lineups, house show lineups. They got a European tour in April. They need bodies. They need people with name recognition. Roman Reigns has name recognition. Again, he's 7 out of 10, though. There's nothing to me about him that's main event. He's just a star on the roster. That's all I see. Intercontinental title, yeah. I want to focus on Sami Zayn. I mean, Zayn, they have... I mean, you talk about Tyler Breeze in somebody to turn Tyler Breeze into a verb. They made Sami Zayn just really uninteresting. You know, he officially debuts a couple weeks ago, and he's just kind of thrown in the mix now. He's just like another guy. Again, they just don't seem to know what they're doing right now. I wish that there was a different road to WrestleMania to talk about, because this road to WrestleMania just plain is not good. You know, I wish there was a different one to talk about. I wish there was something to get excited about. You know, I want a match to get excited about for WrestleMania, and I don't see a match where you're like, wow, I can't wait for that match. Like where is it? Styles is going to be Styles Jericho 4 after Styles has lost two matches in a row. You know, the Andre Battle Royal on the pre-show, the ladder match could be good, but I don't sense a lot of chemistry among these seven guys. So, and they defined down three sevenths of the match tonight. Darrell, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. Next up is the 305 area code. Welcome to show 305. Please state your name, where you calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
DJ, good to hear from you. What's your mind?
I got two questions and a comment. Sure. I think Hogan should take that money and put it into a wrestling company or invest it in WWE. But, okay, check this out. Think about this. Okay, I don't, like you were saying earlier, I have a feeling like something changed. I have a feeling he's going to go heel. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, with all this Shane thing, do you think the whole thing is like a deck of cards? Shane's going to get over, because think about it. If Roman wins, right, mm-hmm. and Shane wins, okay, the 40's over. So Roman's just going to be number one babyface? Okay, where's John Cena going to be? You see what I'm saying? I have a feeling that the whole point is, it's a deck of cards. Shane's going to get over. Something's going to happen. Undertaker, you know, it's going to be a disqualification, something. But the whole point is, I have a feeling Roman's going to turn heel. John Cena's going to come back or something because, you know, like they're saying, remember what Vince said. If Shane comes, Stephanie and Hunter are gone mm-hmm. totally. So I just feel like they're going to do something like that because – like you said, there's something different about him. And you know what I mean? I think it's going to be heelish. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's so hard to tell because, you know, half the time, like on the house shows over the weekend, Reigns gets, 85% babyface pop. You know, the general audience likes him. Then you go to Raw, pay-per-view, the crowds don't like him. And so what do? Do you just kind of stay the course with Reigns as WWE champion and he continues to be antagonized by, you know, a general heel, maybe Triple H in a combination, you know, somebody to antagonize Reigns in the house shows when Hunter's not there? Or do you completely shake things up? And let's go with the scenario. Shane McMahon, let's say he wins at WrestleMania. He goes into Raw the next night. He has control of Raw. What does he do? First thing he should do is reduce Raw to 2 hours. Not going to happen. Second thing he should do is he should strip Roman Reigns of the WWE title. and the crowd would explode for that. But Reigns is technically a babyface, so you're right. Either Reigns has to turn heel at somehow, some way, before, or the very next night after WrestleMania, and then by the end of the show, Shane would strip Reigns of the title, so that you'll line up the heel Roman Reigns, strip of the title by babyface Shane. Otherwise, Shane looks kind of like a jerk for stripping babyface, general babyface Reigns, heel the audience. Heel to that post-WrestleMania audience, Roman Reigns, the title then changes abusing power, and then he's just Triple H or Stephanie McMahon abusing power. So, I don't know. It is a jumbled mess of people who are misaligned, and the whole idea that Vince McMahon and The Undertaker are even in the same storyline going to WrestleMania to me is a mistake. I think that just sort of screws everything up. Taker is a separate entity. That's where he should be. That's where he should be kept. Separate entity, separate match, not touching anything else. But this year they wove him into the deal with Vince and Stephanie and Hunter and Shane. And Hunter and Shane haven't even interacted on TV. And I presume that they're going to save that for either Never Gonna Happen or after Raw. After WrestleMania and Raw after WrestleMania. Like if Shane wins and then Hunter is kicked out of power or whatever. I think that's maybe they're saving that for the big post-Mania angle is when Hunter and Shane finally meet up. They have not explored that angle yet. But otherwise, I mean, Taker and Vince and Taker and Shane and, you know, it's just a bit much for me. So, and I think Taker's been damaged from this. So all that to say, overall, DG, I don't know what they're going for yet. There has been a shift. We saw it tonight. We just don't know where it's going to go with Reigns. Reigns is the key factor. Does he just become babyface WWE champion and gets booed by the TV audience and cheered by the house show audience? I'm not sure yet how long Reigns will hold the title for. Heck, you know, that might have him drop the title the very next night on Raw. You know, like Shane puts Reigns in a immediate title match against Hunter and somebody else, like a three-way match. Yeah, and you get Hunter's rematch out of the way before, you know, like Hunter, if you don't beat Reigns in your rematch, you're fired. You know, that type of deal. And then maybe throw in somebody else in a three-way and that somebody else wins the title from Reigns, you know. So just some ideas to kind of chew on. But DJ, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to the 936 area code. 936, please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Travis from Huntsville, Texas.
Hey, Travis, good to hear from you again. What's your mind?
There's something interesting. You know, I'm about 45 minutes north of Houston, and mm-hmm. Houston is going to be the host of the SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
And they were advertising that SmackDown. And apparently there's going to be an 8-man tag mm-hmm. between the League of Nations, mm-hmm. Against Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Kalisto, and I didn't catch the fourth guy.
Yeah, it was in the back, like I was typing, and all of a sudden I saw the ad pop up on the screen, like you said, and I didn't catch all the baby face. I think the last one was it Kalisto or Sin Cara, maybe? You know, it might have been Lucha Dragons and Reigns and Ambrose. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was thinking, well, if they're going to go with the heel, I mean, they can't go with the heel thing because they're advertising Reigns with Ambrose and Kalisto,
mm-hmm.
and so... Yeah, so yeah, as much as I'd like to see that, I don't think that's gonna happen. And you know, you have the League of Nations. If they win the tag team, you know, why are they going up against, you know, the babyface crew? I don't know if it's normal for them to advertise matches this far out.
I was surprised to see that announcement, especially because you know it's two nights after WrestleMania, so you don't want to advertise something that's not gonna happen. You know, so I did find that odd. They actually advertise a match, you know, especially an 8-man tag.
And so I just wanted to, I didn't know if you had caught that or not. I just wanted to bring that up because I heard a lot of people mentioning maybe a Reigns heel turn. But as of right now, if the booking holds true, which sometimes it doesn't, but if the booking holds true, it just doesn't look like it's going to be a heel turn, even on Raw.
Yeah, I think the post-Mania audience will definitely be booing Reigns, but I think in general, though, he won't be turning heel. Yeah, I'm with you on that point.
No. Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up. The other thing I wanted to, and this is more of a question, is, you know, I've only been closely following wrestling in terms of looking at podcasts and really reading up on articles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For the last 3 years. So I was wondering if, in your recent memory, mm-hmm. has there ever been such a dull, boring, confusing lead up to Mania like this year? I mean, it's nothing I've seen. It's just insane to me.
I'm trying to think of, that's a great question. WrestleMania 30 had, I guess we go backwards, 31 last year, you had the Reigns issues, but they, it wasn't as bad as this year. As far as overall general hype, 30 had, Daniel Bryan hijacked. They got that going. 29 was, I think Cena Rock. We saw a sliver of WrestleMania 29 with Jericho and Fandango having a WrestleMania callback match tonight. But yeah, you got Rock, Cena 2, which, that got a lot of criticism. It was just sort of felt kind of like a rerun from the previous year. But you had Undertaker, CM Punk, which, had the criticism because of the Paul Bearer elements. You also had Triple H and Brock. That one didn't seem to have as much angst as this year. And then you go back to, WrestleMania 28 was Rock Cena one time only. So that was like a special match. And you had Punk and Jericho, which had good hype, and Undertaker Triple H and Hell in a Cell, which obviously was a really good match. You had decent hype there. So that was 28. 27, 27 was sort of okay. Cena and the Miz 5 years ago. It was decent. You also had Undertaker Triple H hype, but you also had the Michael Cole heel run. You had Orton and CM Punk, which was okay. So, 27, it was more like the lineup wasn't that good, but the hype wasn't like horrible. And then, 26 was pretty good, decent. 25 was really good with Michaels and Taker. 26, obviously, Michaels taking retirement. 24 was good with Edge and Taker. 23, that was obviously what's referenced a lot now, the Donald Trump stuff, which had a lot of hype and buzz behind it. 22 was, I think that was Michaels and Cena plus Rey Mysterio. 21 was really great build up, and 20 was pretty good. So, in the modern era, this is, when I say modern, I guess, from 20 on, this is probably, the worst WrestleMania build up the last, 12 years. I think you can make a pretty good argument for that. So, yeah, it's been, I think WrestleMania has progressively, the build up has progressively gotten worse. I think a lot of it has to do with combination of things. 3-hour Raws, draining the life out of the product and the audience, and forcing WWE to overextend their creative. Number two, the authority. Authority has gone on for so long that is, just sort of been a cloud hanging over WrestleMania. And then three is the misalignment of the top babyface and the audience. 30, it was Batista. 31, Reigns. 32, Reigns again. So three straight years of misaligned expectations, misaligned thoughts from the audience in WWE. And those are your top three guys on top going to Mania, and the build up centered around them. And then you had to cancel 30 with Batista. You had to go a different direction. Last year they went ahead and changed up at the actual at WrestleMania, and this year they're going to kind of push forward with Roman Reigns instead of changing things up and throwing a Shane Taker deal. So no change this year, but obviously there's a problem. So. Yeah, to answer your question, Travis, yeah, this year's Mania build-up was probably the worst of the last 12 years. And then we haven't looked at, 19 was good, and 18 was good, and 17 was good, and 16 was good, and 15 was good, and 14. Probably go back to 13. It's probably been 20 years since it coincided with the ratings being the lowest point in 20 years. Comes full circle. Might take 20 years, but things come full circle eventually. Travis, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to the next call. 630 area code. I know this is out of Chicago area. 630, welcome to the show. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
This is Adrian from Aurora. How you doing?
Hey, good to hear from you, Adrian. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm glad to hear you're back, at least at 95% here anyway, so that's good.
That 5% margin allows me to have like random ramblings and things like that with Greg at the top of the show. So that's my margin to work with today.
Well, hey, we'll take it. We'll take whatever we can get, my friend. Three things here. First thing, the main event is probably going to be Taker and Shane, mm-hmm. only because Taker has a long entrance anyway, so you want to give him as much time to bring out the druids or whatever you're going to do. Second, why didn't Hunter just lock the door? Because there was at least a good 10 minutes before Roman walked over to the truck mm-hmm. to open up said door and drag him out and have Stephanie scream like he was getting massacred or murdered. So that didn't make any sense to me. And third, I'm wondering what the opening segment of WrestleMania 32 is going to be. Is it going to be Rock, Michaels, and Stone Cold all standing in the ring patting themselves on the back like WrestleMania 30? Or you think Michaels will have a segment with Hunter or Roman giving them a pep talk before their match? And do you think Rock would probably be on the Stone Cold podcast, or has that already been decided? And that's all I got.
Great topics. I'll go the reverse order. So the next Stone Cold podcast is this, not this Thursday, but the Thursday WrestleMania week, where he's at McFoley, and that's going to be on the network after SmackDown, the last Thursday SmackDown before WrestleMania, so the 31st, they'll have Stone Cold and McFoley. Yeah, I think that Austin needs to get Rock on for a live Stone Cold podcast on WWE Network. That needs to happen. We'll settle for a taped one WrestleMania week, you know, but, tape it WrestleMania week and then air it on the network, you know, like, I don't know, sometime in April. But yeah, that needs to happen. Stone Cold Rock doing a podcast. The open to WrestleMania 32. I've not thought about that at all. That's a great question. So, I think you got to do. I mean, they're in Texas. I think you got to do the Texas Legends and have Stone Cold, Michaels. I don't know if JBL fits there, and sort of the pantheon of WWE. You know, JBL's not like a super legend, and I don't think that he would sort of put himself out there in that, but you know, obviously Michaels and Stone Cold, and you threw in another Texas legend at that level. Obviously, if Dusty Rhodes was still alive, that would be the one. Maybe it'll be a tribute to Dusty. They'll maybe tribute him a little bit. So, yeah, Stone Cold and Michaels, and you know, you can throw in The Rock for a non-Texas flavor. Put those three guys out there. Maybe a Ric Flair. Yeah, I mean, I don't see any matches hot enough to kick off WrestleMania. You know, maybe AJ and Styles, maybe an AJ and Jericho match, you know, kind of settle the feud. Maybe that match kicks off WrestleMania. But yeah, it does feel like maybe a show where they need to have somebody do a promo, whether it's Rock, whether it's Austin, whether it's Michaels, whether it's all of them, just to kind of juice the show a little bit. So that's a great question. So I need to get that more thought, but I think either promo or AJ and Jericho. Why didn't Hunter lock the door? Because he's rich. He doesn't have to do that. As Stephanie identified during the show, they are rich and powerful and control the ring and everybody and everything, and they own everything and everyone. So they don't have to lock the door. They have people to do that for them. And obviously the person who was in charge of locking the door for Hunter and Stephanie dropped the ball. You had one job, door locker person, and that person failed. Therefore leaving them exposed to that dastardly Roman Reigns. So yes, they are not used to locking doors. It is not a natural reaction for them because they are rich and powerful and own everything. So they don't have to do that. They have people to do that for them. So obviously Reigns knew the weakness. He exploited the weakness, which was their arrogance of power. And he took advantage. He knew they would not have the door locked because he could beat the door locker person to the door in order to jump Hunter because he knew the door would not be locked in time. He's very smart, that Roman Reigns. He knew the weakness and exploited it. Taker and Shane. Adrian, I wrote down Taker and Shane. I forget. What was the first question about Taker and Shane?
Sure. Just real quick. It was have them go on last because Taker had the longest entrance.
Ah, yes. That's right.
They'll probably have the druids and stuff.
Right. I'm at 95%. Write things down. I don't remember why I wrote it down. Yes. I could... Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's the lighter reason for that match going last. Plus, it's Hell in a Cell. You got to drop the cage. You know, and then they could drop the cell in the middle of the show. But you know, it's not like an indie show where you need half-hour intermission to set up the cage. And, you know, got to bring on the stagehands, put the four cage walls together. So, you know, they'll have the Hell in a Cell structure hanging from, I guess, the octopus hanging from the, you know, the little thing hanging above the ring, the little stage area. So I guess they'll have that hanging there to drop it down. I guess from the scoreboard, will it be attached to the scoreboard? I don't know. I'm not sure how that's going to work. That's going to be interesting. Going above AT&T Stadium. But, yeah, I guess, you know, they could drop the cell anytime they want, I guess. So it's not really a matter of that logistical element. But, yeah, more so for Taker's entrance and building, you know. If you're going to add the stipulation of this could be Taker's last WrestleMania, then, yeah, they've got to make it really dramatic and have a big entrance and all that. So you're right on, Adrian. They might need to save it to go on last for the big entrance. So that is a great point. So another reason to make the argument for Taker and Shane to go on last at WrestleMania. That's another item. It's light, but it counts. It still counts. Adrian, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to the next call. 718 area code. You're up next. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Romeo from New York City.
Hey, Romeo. What's your mind tonight?
Comment on a question. I'm going to the MSG show on Friday as well as the Raw in Brooklyn next week, so I'll see if I can shoot you an email or something after that show.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
As well as the Shane Taker, do you take anything out of Vince McMahon's wording tonight as far as this would be Taker's last WrestleMania, and why didn't he just say last match?
Yeah, there could be two things there. One is he wants to reinforce WrestleMania and you know, reinforce the brand and the event and the spectacle and sort of attach Taker's last, you know, WrestleMania. Yeah, I think they want to try to sell the idea of WrestleMania potentially being Taker's last one. So I think that's why they chose that verbiage. The other one is I think they wanted to put more weight on it. Obviously, the verbiage allows him to have Taker, you know, wrestle in April and SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble. And, you know, if he were to lose, you know, Vince said his last WrestleMania. So it's not like Undertaker's going to retire on the spot if he loses at WrestleMania. Because, you know, he could wrestle the next night in Raw or SummerSlam. But I just think they wanted to attach more weight to the match. I mean, to me, it's almost they almost traded two things here. They traded, because they have not brought up the lockbox, you know, since Shane brought it up in the very first night he came back. And the whole reason why Shane came back was, you know, he had this thing he was holding over Vince's head. He thinks that WWE's falling apart. He came back, and he was willing to give up the contents of the lockbox in exchange for control of Raw. And, you know, by therefore control of WWE. They have not brought the lockbox at all since then. So it seemed they kind of traded that item that's floating out there for an added stipulation of potentially Undertaker's last match. So it's like, okay, we're not going to bring up the lockbox anymore, but that was a pretty weighty item, so we need to add more weight. Well, let's have this to potentially be Taker's last WrestleMania match. So I think it's more about just adding weight to WrestleMania, adding weight to the match. And then also to have some wiggle room for them to have the idea that it's, well, we're not saying it's his last match ever. We're not saying it's a quote-unquote retirement match like Ric Flair at 24. So I think they wanted to be able to have that wiggle room to where they're not locked into a specific result of the result. So I think they're just kind of being interesting with the wording. That's kind of how I took it, Romeo.
I don't see how any way that Shane could beat Undertaker clean.
Mm-hmm.
I would think he'd have to have somebody help him out. If that's the case, who do you think is the best person to plug in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you think about Kane and how much history there is with Kane and Taker, and you know, here's an opportunity for Kane to end the Undertaker's WrestleMania career, conceivably. You know, Kane has kind of been more of a babyface ever since he parted ways with the Authority, and so it could be twofold, you know, where he ends Undertaker's career and he ends the Authority if he does not want the Authority in power anymore. You know, Kane is such a weird character, though, so it's kind of hard to put his motivations into the box of this match. So it would have to be a heel who would want to help Taker beat Shane. So which heel would want to help babyface Taker? You know, you just get all this weird, like, a heel helping a face, and but which face, and it just makes your head hurt. But so which heel would benefit the most from keeping the Authority in power? By helping Taker, or, well, we're talking about more like who would want to help Taker lose in his career. But then you're helping Shane get power. So it would have to be maybe somebody who's lost to Taker in the past. You know, somebody who wants to see Taker lose. Maybe it's Shawn Michaels. You know, maybe Shawn. But then Shawn would be kicking out Triple H from power. Then he'd be costing Hunter power. And why would he hurt his best friend? Especially go back to last year when Shawn Michaels helped Triple H beat Sting at last year's WrestleMania. So then you look at, okay, what about Sting? Okay, does Sting want to end The Undertaker's WrestleMania career? There's no reason for him to want to do that. But his entire mission, he came in wanting to end the Authority. So therefore, wouldn't he want to help Shane beat The Undertaker, so therefore he kicked the Authority out of power? But then what would Sting's beef be with The Undertaker? It's just a giant mess. So, top three candidates. Kane makes, I guess, the most out of all these least sensible scenarios. Kane makes the most sense to want to cost Undertaker's match. I would say Kane, and then maybe a revenge by Shawn Michaels, costing Taker the match, keeping Triple H in power, and then whoever I just said. I don't remember who I just said. So again, I'm 95% today. I got 5% wiggle room. But yes, Kane, Michaels, whoever I just said, those would be the top three candidates to cost Taker the match. I mean, you got to throw in a Triple H. Well, he would want to help. Would Triple H want? I guess he would want to help Shane. No, he would want to help Taker beat Shane. So that's the opposite. Triple H would want to cost Shane and help Taker. So, and then Stephanie would want to help Taker and beat Shane, so you can't do that one. Maybe Linda McMahon costs Taker and helps Shane win? I don't know. We're getting kind of silly here. Romeo, there is no good answer. It could be anybody, because they could find anybody to have some motivation to want to help Taker win or lose, or vice versa, help Shane win or lose. So you have any number of people who could really fall in any of those four categories. It makes for a very bizarre match, I'll tell you that much. Romeo, I appreciate your phone call. Good to hear from you. Let's go. Here, 281. My good friend James out of Houston. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. So I guess our center has Stick'Em on his hands, apparently, huh?
I have not watched any Rockets games in about 2 weeks, I think.
Oh, wow.
I'm just sort of done with the Rockets. One game they beat the Celtics in their streak. Then they beat the Raptors in their streak. And then the next game they give up 130 points to, I don't know, we give 130 points to somebody. And I just can't take this anymore. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, you're not missing nothing, man. And then another thing is that I am so happy that I have my NXT tickets. Man,
TakeOver?
WrestleMania, man. And I kind of disagree. Like, I guess I'm one of the only few people that is a WrestleMania 13 apologist. I actually enjoyed Mania 13. Maybe one of the only few.
Yeah, I think the show itself, I think obviously Austin and Bret Hart, but I think the build-up was so weird. I think it's more about the build-up was like a mess. That's kind of the one people mm-hmm. kind of go, that one in 11, you know, it was Bam Bam and Laura, almost said Sergeant Slaughter.
Laura,
I don't know,
Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor. I don't know why. I don't know, but
yeah. The first thing that I have is so the WWE is always for me. They're really they're really bad at red herrings. Mm-hmm. I think the big red herring is this year is Seth Rollins, mm-hmm. With the reported rumor of him now taking bumps in the ring, and he's now starting to be more he's starting to get acclimated to not wearing his knee brace. I think that to answer there was another caller. I think that Triple H and Reigns will probably go on last. I don't know how Seth Rollins will get involved, but I'm going to go ahead and call it. You can mark this in your journal if you have one. I think Seth Rollins, that's my bold prediction, 2 weeks out, right?
All right.
I think Seth Rollins is going to make his return back in Mania. I don't know as a heel or a face, but I think he's going to return. And I think that that's the only thing that could give spice to that type of main event, because you know people are either going to just crap on Reigns and Triple H to instant babyface, or they're going to crap on the match just entirely. And then the second thing is kind of long-winded. There was another report that came out about how, I don't know if you've read it or not, but through the dirt sheets that apparently Vince McMahon is not sold on any quote-unquote money guys in NXT. Apparently he, you know, there was, you know, word going around that he just sees a whole bunch of just people that wrestle and no money behind anybody down there. So my question is, do you see kind of a, I guess pardon the pun here with the Marvel thing, a civil war going on between NXT and the WWE kind of brewing? Because it, if Vince doesn't see any, you know, good things happening down at NXT, what is it down there for in the first place if it's not quote-unquote developmental? That's all I have, so have a good night.
All right, James, appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. The NXT one is interesting to me. I get where if that mindset is being reported accurately, I get where Vince is coming from in the sense that he has a hard time picking up somebody in their current form on NXT and then dropping them on the main roster. I think they made a very seamless transition with Kevin Owens. I think he's one of the only ones, besides The Shield. The Shield had a very seamless transition as a unit of Dean and Roman and Seth when they would transition from NXT to the main roster. That was a very seamless transition that worked. It stuck. That's been good, other than the Roman Reigns singles run. But that was seamless. I think Kevin Owens had a very seamless transition. But I think in general, McMahon has a very difficult time picking somebody up out of NXT, like Bayley. Let's say that all of a sudden McMahon and the creative team picked up Bayley in her current form as the NXT Women's Champion and put her on the main roster. They probably would not know what to do with her. You know, would they have her get picked on by the mean babyfaces? Would they have her turn into Natalya as sort of the teacher's pet babyface? Would she be Becky Lynch, kind of the cool chick, but not really a threat to the title? You know, like, Bayley does not compute in McMahon's world of wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, Bayley is too nice and clean cut and catchy, but in a way that I think McMahon would find cheesy. You know, and you just look at, you know, a lot of people on the NXT roster who McMahon would say, no. You know, because he has a hard time picking them up, lifting them up out of the roster, dropping them on WWE. Oh, look at Sami Zayn. Again, I mentioned that earlier. Sami Zayn, McMahon looks at him, I don't know what to do with him. You know, okay, we got to call the guy up. He's been, you know, he's done everything there pretty much, except for having a match with Nakamura, which will happen at TakeOver. But, you know, picks him up, drops him, okay. He has an issue with Kevin Owens. Is that enough to have a one-on-one feud going to WrestleMania? I don't know. You know, McMahon's like, I don't know about that. So what do? You throw in a Ziggler and a Miz and a Stardust and a Sin Cara and Zack Ryder. And now you have this jumbled mess of seven guys, you know, and Sami Zayn just sort of there. So I think McMahon just, you know, he really has a difficult time placing these NXT guys and gals in their current form on the main roster. He just has a really difficult time with that. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me that he doesn't see any, if the report's accurate, that the mindset is accurate. He has a very difficult time seeing who the next stars are going to be on the main roster, because he has a difficult time translating NXT people to main roster. It's just it doesn't compute. Does not compute. That's, you know, I think that's part of the issue here. So we can sit here and look at NXT and look at the roster and how great it is and how great the shows are and the matches are great and all this, but you know, it's a totally different ballgame trying to translate that to the main roster, the way it's set up on the main roster. Seth Rollins, yeah, I don't know when Rollins will be involved. I've talked about maybe Seth being involved in WrestleMania. After Reigns wins the title, Rollins comes out. Hey, remember me, I never dropped the title. I'm next in line for a title shot. So, you know, does that happen WrestleMania? Is that the night after WrestleMania? Is that the night after Payback? Is that the night after Extreme Rules? You know what I mean? Like when does Rollins come back and stake the claim? And will it be babyface? Will it be heel? You know, I know there's been some, well, he's got to be heel because that's how he left. Or he's got to be babyface opposite Reigns. I don't know. You know, we'll kind of see how that plays out. So, heck, he could get involved in Shane and Taker. You know, maybe he gets involved in that match instead. Maybe we're all thinking about Reigns and Hunter. Maybe instead he gets involved in Shane and Taker. We'll see. James, always good to talk to you. Appreciate the call. I did write down your prediction for Seth Rollins. I have it written down and circled. We'll check back in 13 days. We'll see how accurate you are. All right, James, good to talk to you. Let's go to our next caller. 347 area code. Welcome to the show, 347. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Chris from New York, and I have two questions.
Go for it, Chris.
The first one is about Hogan. Given the fact that he's in his 60s now and can't work a match ever again, do you think Vince McMahon sent him a message when he called John Cena the Babe Ruth of WWE? And at this point in time, does Hogan really have any value other than his name anymore? Isn't it easy for them just not to even associate with him anymore? Like, do they actually need him in any way? And the second question is about Undertaker and his continuing career. Do you think at this point that Vince McMahon will try to have Undertaker work a match if he's healthy against Cena next year? Or do you see him wrestling into his 50s if it's once a year? Do you think that there's any need for him to retire as long as he avoids a major injury like a sting, so to speak?
Sure. Yeah, great questions, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. I sure want to see Taker and Cena at WrestleMania. You know, I think it would have happened this year. Cena got injured. I really wish that. I think this year's WrestleMania needed that match. Didn't happen. I hope that match happens. I really want to see Taker Cena at Mania. I think that's the last big match for Cena. It might be the last big match for Taker too. But I think that Taker's in good enough shape where he could wrestle, you know, another couple WrestleManias. You know, it's a matter of, does he want to? You know, he doesn't have to, but does he want to? And so I do hope that he does stick around long enough to have that match with Cena. Yeah, and that would be a pretty good match for next year's WrestleMania in Orlando. Ric Flair retired at 24 last time they were in Orlando. So maybe go full circle or have another retirement-type match of Cena-Taker. And that's Taker's farewell. Because, I mean, really, that's the last big match for Taker at WrestleMania, Cena. You know, unless somebody just, like, absolutely caught fire over the next year. I don't see anybody that is like, oh, we haven't seen that match yet. I think Cena is the one that people want to see. So, yeah, I hope that match happens next year's WrestleMania. Hogan's value, that was interesting. And I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because, McMahon has always called Hogan the Babe Ruth of WWE. And then, like you said, in the interview with Brian Fritz of the Orlando Sentinel, speaking of Orlando, a couple weeks ago when they announced WrestleMania 33, yeah, he did call John Cena the Babe Ruth of WWE. So it does seem like, you know, exit Hogan, enter Cena. That is kind of interesting. I think that WWE could see some value in Hogan as a nostalgia act only. You know, maybe just before the whole thing broke out last year, he was just sort of doing, what was it? He was supposed to be the guest GM in Australia, a tour of Australia, and then the racist comments came out from the Gawker tape from 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, just kind of maybe back to what he was doing before of just being like a guest GM or special guest appearance at this house show or autograph signing or, you know, the occasional, you know, MSG house show appearance. You know, you know back in time when they did the big Hulk Hogan night, put his name in the rafters for one night. You know what I mean? So you go back in time to that. That's what he was doing before the Gawker stuff. So, yeah, I think that the value they see in Hogan that is left in Hogan is just sort of a spokesperson. They won't promote a match. They won't have him do if he ever comes back, they wouldn't have him probably do a regular role. It would just be sort of spot stuff, just nostalgia, just sort of Hulkamania nostalgia. And that's probably about it. I don't think they would give him any more than that. Again, that's assuming he ever comes back, you know, because when Gawker appeals a verdict, you know, probably a lot more of that stuff's going to come out that will not be very favorable to Hogan. So, you know, as much as he got a victory Friday and Monday today, there is still the whole appeals process where a lot more stuff's going to come out. So, he is definitely not out of the woods yet, and he has no money. He has not received any money yet either, so there is that. Chris, appreciate the call. Let's go back to the 630 area code. 630, welcome to the show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. 630, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Dan from Chicago.
Hey, Dan. What's on your mind tonight, Dan?
Going back a couple weeks, Bray Wyatt actually called out the city he was in. Is that the sign of a face turn again? I know they had stopped him from doing that for a while.
Yeah, you know, it could have been just a week-by-week thing where they decided they needed to, you know, wake up the crowd or just kind of give the crowd a little extra pop. You know, like to have somebody come out during the show and recognize the crowd. You know, what was it, Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns said he was looking for a fight all across Broad Street. You know, a little pop to Philadelphia. So I think sometimes they look at the show and they say, oh, we got to involve the home crowd and make sure the home crowd feels wanted and excited to be there. Excuse me, excited to be there on Raw. So, you know, it could have been just one of those things where they just needed somebody to reference the town they're in. And just sort of wake up the crowd a little bit, but probably not much more than that, Dan. Anything else on your mind, Dan?
No, that was it. You know, it just seemed like Bray had stopped doing it for a long time.
And yeah.
It just came up, you know, when they were in Chicago again. I know Chicago is a hotbed for WWE, so.
Yeah, maybe Bray just wanted to say Chicago. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, the characters are so flimsy, and they just kind of go back and forth, heel and face. I just, you know, I think some weeks they wanted, you know, they want Bray and company to look kind of cool, and some weeks be more heelish, and you know, there just doesn't seem much constitution in the characters right now, and I think it's kind of resulted in a pretty weak Road to WrestleMania. Dan, appreciate your call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to our last caller, and then I'll take some emails to wrap up the show. Let's go to the 915 area code. Welcome to the show, 915. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, man. This is Chris from Maryland.
Hey, Chris. What's your mind tonight?
Hey, I actually thought that Raw had a pretty good start today. Mm-hmm. For tonight, you know, I was dreading the 20-minute, 30-minute opening promo with Reigns included. But, you know, I will say that it was short and sweet and to the point, and it lasted like around 5 minutes, so I was good with that. And then we got this great match with AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, which is just fantastic, in my opinion. And I honestly had a good feeling about this Raw today, a really good feeling. And then the next 2.5 hours happened, which just completely bore me to hell. The one thing that really, and I feel like, you know, I feel like I always mention, but the one thing that really just pissed me off today was that, okay, so you, you finished a great match. You know, the crowd's really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then an hour later, you get into a segment with Stephanie McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Stephanie McMahon usually do to other wrestlers?
Cuts them down.
Exactly. And KO has been blessed for that not to happen until today, where it just made him seem so, you know, so not important, so weak. I just hated that segment. I wanted to just turn off my TV. I should have turned off my TV because the rest of the show was just garbage, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing, too, about Sami Zayn, you know, Sami Zayn, you know, I think he debuted with last week or 2 weeks ago, and now he's just, you know, they don't, what are they doing with him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, he's in this match with Kevin Owens, but, you know, it's muddled up with these other people that are just, now we're the finest jobbers tonight. So, honestly, like, it's not even a joke now, it's just, bring on NXT TakeOver. WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people have that same opinion. You know, sure, exactly how you feel, Chris. I what match is there to get really excited about for WrestleMania? I mean, you know, I guess that if you're really into Shane, and you know, you kind of have some nostalgia for Shane, and want to see how this all plays out with Shane and Taker, and you know, some nostalgia and that sort of thing, you might be interested in that, and hoping that maybe something happens in the WWE title match situation, or you hope that Brock and Ambrose have a really big brawl, and The Rock does something interesting, and Stone Cold breaks somebody with a stunner, and you know what I mean? Like it's pretty much hoping for things that are not advertised. And that's kind of where they are right now this year's WrestleMania build-up, but just hoping for something to exceed expectations or some big surprise, or two or three. And I think that's kind of what this year's WrestleMania was going to either succeed or fail on, is whether there's surprises. Because the lineup just is not really grabbing people at all right now. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Chris, on your points. Sami Zayn, another guy. You know, I just don't know. I just don't know what the game plan is. I don't know if it's just lower all the expectations and then hit everybody with the big surprise at Mania. You know, I don't know if that's a good way to go about business, though. I don't know. You know, I mean, they had Roman Reigns cash in, you know, the big beatdown on Hunter and the big beatdown on Vince on back-to-back nights on around TLC in December. They're the crowd behind Reigns for two nights. And then here we go back to Philadelphia, you know, 3 months later, and the crowd's back to where they were, indifferent or booing. So, yeah, you could have some big surprise at Mania, and you could reset everything, but it's just going to be back to where it was, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later. Nothing is sustainable with this current product. It's sad. I mean, I wish there was a better road to WrestleMania to talk about. I really wish there was something to get excited about. But as everybody keeps talking about, and I agree with, first half hour of the show was good. Nice, short, sweet opening promo. Good opening match. Very good opening match. And then after that, it was, not good. I don't know, a couple of emails, and we'll wrap up the show here. Usos. Christian wrote about the Usos. With the way they've been received for a couple months now, do you think they will ever turn heel? Yeah, I think it's a possibility because I think the crowds are sort of tired of the act. And I'm not sure that the Usos are really advancing as an act themselves. I think they're just kind of doing the same thing. And I'm not quite sure that they're really advancing. So something about them feels very WWE corporate. And I think anything that has sort of that feel of WWE corporate, you know, just sort of a quote-unquote WWE act, you know, just kind of feels WWE, you know, like mid-card, I think just has a stench to it. And that's kind of where they are right now. Christian also wrote, or Christian Rivera wrote, what does it say that a year and a half of failing and being booed, you're giving two WrestleMania main events where others who fail are given the same chances after a bad week or two? I think what Christian's saying is, you know, they keep pushing forward Roman Reigns, and it hasn't worked for a year and a half. This is their project. Above all other things, this is their project. To make Roman Reigns a main eventer, to make Roman Reigns a solid WWE champion, to make Roman Reigns the new top star in the company. Everybody else, you get a short leash, but Roman Reigns is the project. He is the project. He is the guy they're trying to make happen. And everybody else, you know, is judged week to week and whether they got over or not. Does not matter, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is on a different standard. This is the project. And they're going to keep pushing forward with it until it works for more than just 2 days in mid-December. And so I think that's kind of why they keep going forward with it. VIP member Dan in D.C. says, I'm going to Mania in 2 weeks. The friend, we both gone to the point of resignation that we're going to witness one of the bottom five Manias of all time. The surprises will pretty much determine that or not. Because, again, the Mania lineup just doesn't seem like it could be a really strong show. At first, we were jokingly invoking WrestleMania 9 as a comparison to the build-up for WrestleMania 32. But looking back, but with the booking and lack of direction the last few weeks, it's starting to look like it's not a joke anymore. At least they realize, and unlike looking back then, you can't have non-finishes. Thank God we have NXT tickets too. Yeah, I mean, NXT is the hot ticket, you know, for this year's WrestleMania season. Plus, you have Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor. You got WWE and Live's Evolve and Super Show shows. So you have a lot of options WrestleMania weekend. TakeOver is obviously the hot non-WrestleMania ticket. And WrestleMania is going to draw its audience, but it just doesn't seem like it's kind of working right now. Kyle wrote in. He says, I usually work Monday nights, but when I was told I could leave an hour early, I was excited to go attend his first Raw. And all that excitement faded after the Styles and Kevin Owens match. I'm with you there. He says they played the same Total Divas commercial 3 times and then played 3 separate commercials of cheesy WWE movies starring Ambrose, Big Show, Kane, and Orton. Yeah, that's pretty much what takes the audience out of the show, the live taping. Where all these, all the commercials, then commercial breaks, and then Total Divas spots, all this other stuff, and it really is a drag being there live at Raw. Ryan in Chicago. Kyle, appreciate your email. Ryan from Chicago said, what do you think about John Cena returning to WrestleMania, interfering in Shane Taker and or turning heel somehow? Cena is the wild card in all this. What is Cena going to do? Will it be special referee? Will it not be advertised at all? Will it be interfering in something? I'm not ready to commit to what Cena's going to end up doing at Mania because I want to see if they advertise him in advance, you know, like next Monday. Will they advertise him for something on Raw or not? I'm sorry, advertise him for something at WrestleMania or not? So I want to see next Monday what they do with Cena, if anything at all. They don't advertise him, then yeah, he could very well making a surprise appearance in one of those big matches. So that, I'm going to hold that thought, Ryan, for a second. It's a good question. And let's see, we talked to Christian about his comment. Greg wrote in, Raw was so lame, I could barely talk about it. He says, I really think that Paul Heyman should have cut a 15-minute promo about something in the home of ECW to wake up the crowd from the naps they took after the AJ Owens match. Yeah, I think Heyman could have helped out. Talking to his people, you know, the Philadelphia people, that could have helped out. But I think WWE would have said, oh, he's going to be a distraction. He's going to distract from what we're trying to do. Well, let's look at the alternative. The alternative was a very cold Dean Ambrose, Braun Strowman match where the crowd is chanting, this is boring, in the middle of a main event of Raw 2 weeks before WrestleMania. So I think they could have taken the alternative of having Paul Heyman distract from Raw to wake up the crowd. I think there would have been a better alternative there. And then Greg also wrote, Owens, Sasha, Becky, and Heyman are all on commentary tonight. Recently, they've had more wrestlers on commentary than ever before. Do you think this is an effort from WWE to hide the ineptitude of the Raw announce team? Maybe 25% of that is that, to kind of make up for their shortcomings. And the other 75% is trying to get all these different people on commentary to get over their personality, get over their match, get over whatever they're trying to get over on Raw. So, yeah, I would say 25% making up for the announcers, 75% trying to get over their stuff. And that's a pretty easy way to do it, is have them talk during a match. Email from Marco. Had Titus O'Neil not been suspended, do you think he would have had Zack Ryder's spot in the multi-man ladder match, as Ryder seems like an odd choice? That's a great question. I kind of picture Titus O'Neil being in the Andre Battle Royal. I don't really see him having – I don't see him being in this ladder match, like if O'Neil was not suspended. I don't think he would have been in the ladder match. I think Titus would have been in the Andre Battle Royal. So, you know, he's missing a payday, but I think he would have just been in the Andre Battle Royal. I don't think it would have been much more than that, but and which is a shame, because I think Titus should be in something bigger than that at this stage of his career, because I think he could be a big deal for WWE. They just don't, you know, they just don't feature him consistently for him to find a place to really get over on the roster. So I think he would have been in the Andre Battle Royal. John in Syracuse thought Raw was off to a good start. Enjoyed the first hour or so, 45 minutes. We'll compromise there. what about New Day in the League of Booty? He says it just felt like a sort of a pre-match segment, or he felt like the pre-match segment was awkward, and definitely does not think there's chemistry between those guys. I agree with you on that. I also would add that New Day pivoting to a babyface role was a mistake. They are not over as babyfaces. They're not doing much to connect to the audience as faces. They're just dogging on heels. So they went from dogging on babyfaces, dogging on heels, and all of a sudden they're in a babyface sympathetic role. I don't think it's working at all. I think it's a bit of a mess, in my opinion. And then why are the tag titles being defended? I think it is a tag title match at WrestleMania between League of Nations and New Day. Second topic, why did they go one-on-one for the U.S.? You know, they didn't even have Ryback and Kalisto on the show tonight. That's a great side note there. Yeah, Ryback and Kalisto wasn't even on Raw tonight. Why have that be the one-on-one match for the U.S. title with such low interest, and have a lower card packed Intercontinental title match with more appealing options? Yeah, I mean, I think they should have switched this up. I think that they should have had Owen Zayn one-on-one for Intercontinental title and then had a U.S. title match with all the multi-man people. You know, Kalisto doing the big spot in the ladder match. Kalisto, Ryback, Miz, Ziggler, Owen. I'm not Owens. Ziggler and so what is that, 4-5? And then throw in a couple other guys, you know, Tyler Breeze or something like that, and then one more big guy to kind of base. And I would have put that in the U.S. title match, the multi-man ladder match, and then had Owen Zayn 1-on-1 for the Intercontinental title. But you know, I think that they went backwards or they switched it how I would have done it, and I think maybe they made a mistake with that, but we'll see. Jordan in Wales wrote about Ambrose and Lesnar. He says, the way things are going, I can totally see Dean Ambrose beating Brock Lesnar at Mania. Can you see the Wyatts interfering here? I think because it's WrestleMania, I think they would keep the Wyatts away from Brock and or Dean. I think they would kind of let Dean and Brock settle their thing one-on-one with weapons and the street fight format. I don't see the Wyatts getting involved here. He says he feels like it could save Brock's credibility a bit if he did not lose clean to Dean Ambrose. Yeah, but wouldn't that take away some credibility from Dean Ambrose's win? Yeah, I don't think WWE is really concerned about the credibility of Dean Ambrose. They kind of see Ambrose as, again, a utility player, a utility main eventer that can kind of rotate in and out of a main event slot. So I don't think they're worried about whether or not Dean Ambrose wins this match. If he does win, I would actually be very surprised. I think that Brock will win, but they'll kind of make it seem pretty even and have Dean get a lot of crazy stuff they can talk about to kind of cover for him losing. So I anticipate Brock winning here, but them getting a lot of stuff in for Dean. This is Michael from Georgia. When will Roman Reigns actually talk? I mean, you can see him pause to think about what he's going to say. You can see him pause to think about what is written for him in his promos. So that's a great distinction between talking and reciting. I think a lot of it is for Roman Reigns. He is reciting the lines for him. I wish he would get to that point of being able to talk. But, again, he's a 7 out of 10. He's not a main eventer. He's just a WWE star. Upper mid-carder. Masquerading as a main eventer. Also, he really wanted to see Kevin Owens get a 1-on-1 WrestleMania match because he deserves it. The other people in the ladder match should be in the Battle Royal. Or as we just talked about, in a multi-man U.S. title match instead of Kalisto and Ryback having the 1-on-1. Should be Kalisto, Ryback, I would throw Sin Cara in there to kind of have a dynamic of Kalisto and Sin Cara. And then Miz and Ziggler, what is that, 5? And then you throw in two other guys that are hopefully of more credibility than Ryder and Stardust. And have that be the multi-man ladder match. And then you have Owens and Zayn as the 1-on-1 Intercontinental title match. Again, though, they chose to go a different direction. I think both matches have suffered as a result. And thusly, that is the road to WrestleMania. It is unfortunate. It is kind of sad. But we sit here A week away from the last Raw before WrestleMania, wondering what in the world is going on the road to WrestleMania. So, on that note, I hope that we have a better Raw to talk about next Monday. I'll be back here on the Raw post-game show. Final Raw before Mania next Monday. And, of course, tomorrow's live cast, Tuesday, 5 Eastern, Wade Keller and Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. And then Wednesday, so more of your phone calls about Raw on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Pat McNeil is back with his All-Star panel at 5 Eastern. Wade Keller's interview Thursday at 5 Eastern on Thursday. And then Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant wrap you all up on Friday at 7 Eastern, all right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And if you have not listened back 2 days ago, Saturday morning livecast, Jim Valley, episode number 8, had wrestling columnist Mike Mooneyham, a great conversation between Mike and Jim on Saturday's livecast. You can listen to that on demand right here at pwtorchlivecast.com or in the VIP audio section if you're a VIP member. pwtorch.com/goVIP if you're not a VIP member. So on that note, I will sign off here. I appreciate you guys calling us up or emailing us here on the live cast. Especially thank you to PWTorch columnist Greg Parks. Always a pleasure talking to Greg. I'll be back next Monday with Pat. And until then, with Kids on Bridges playing this out, this is Torch Assistant Air James Caldwell signing off. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys next Monday.